from the game of quoits, dating back 2,000 years to just after horseshoes themselves had been invented. All I knew was that they seemed to get heavier with each toss, making me wonder how the poor horses managed with them nailed to their hooves. The party had started to wind down, but the families gathering their belongings and saying their goodbyes to Hal and Babs seemed equally matched by newcomers arriving unfashionably late. It was the day before the traditional start of school, explaining why this party, inevitably, lingered into the early evening hours under the floodlights the Worths had set up with just that expectation in mind. The sun was poised to dip behind the mountains in the distance, and those who'd elected to spend their day on the beach, a short walk from the Worths' expansive property, brushed sand off their feet in bathing suits as they arrived. I'd intended to join those who were leaving until Babs convinced me to team up with her for a final game of horseshoes. Our opponents were the town historian, Tim Purdy, and Brad Crandall, an old-timer known as the best horseshoe thrower in town. Standing nearby, camera in hand, was Eve Simpson, Cabot Cove's premier realtor and gossip, two avocations that apparently went hand in hand. Eve was holding the camera, but didn't seem to be taking any pictures. Servers from Cabot Cove Catering, meanwhile, filtered through the crowd, dispensing their wares with napkins to spare. A healthy assortment of the company's most delectable treats, now that we'd entered the dessert phase of the festivities, had replaced the trays of finger foods. My mouth watered at the sight of the bite-sized brownies, but I watched the last one snatched from the tray just before the server reached me. I guess it wasn't my day. We were down to the final tosses. Tim and Brad had 20 points, one shy of the winning number. Babs and I had surprised everyone, including ourselves, by accumulating 18 points, three shy of the winning number of 21. It was my turn to throw my two horseshoes at the iron stake, which stood 40 feet from where I was poised to take what would be the final turn. I'd need a ringer worth 3 points in which the horseshoe encircles the stake for us to win. I didn't suffer any illusions that I was capable of such a toss, especially now that the horseshoe I was hefting felt heavier than the bicycle I often had to lift over the curb to chain in place. "You can do it, Jess," Babs assured me, upbeat as ever. Her rosy voice made for a fitting match with her appearance. She had a head full of red curls that framed flawless, smooth skin that looked as though it belonged in a skilled artist's portrait. And her trim, athletic figure hadn't changed an ounce in the 9 years I'd known her, as she looked more like someone who rode horses than tossed their shoes. I eyed the stake, which seemed to be farther away than 40 feet. The horseshoe, which weighed all of 2.5 pounds, made me list to the side on which I was holding it. I drew a deep breath and glanced at Tim and Brad, whose bemused expressions reflected confidence in their victory. Then I closed my eyes, opened them, focused on the stake, and pitched the horseshoe, which caught the final rays of sun as it sailed through the air. To my delight, the harsh sound of the horseshoe clanging against the iron stake rang in my ears. "It's a ringer, Jess!" Babs yelled. "You tossed a ringer! We won!" I guess it was my day after all. Tim gave me a hug. Brad, a sour expression on his weathered face, mumbled congratulations and walked away.
"Wait till I tell Hal," Babs bubbled.
"Where is he?" I fell in behind Babs in search of her husband. As we approached the sprawling New England-style house, we passed my dear friend Dr. Seth Hazlitt, who'd driven me to the gathering. People in town wonder why I've never learned to drive a car and trust my bicycle to get around, and look askance at me for having taken flying lessons and earning my private pilot's license. I'm not sure that I can adequately explain why I have a license to fly, but not one that allows me to drive, and I've given up trying to figure it out myself. I guess one of the great things about Cabot Cove is you don't need a car to get around, much less a plane. I also hadn't needed either when I spent much of my time at the Manhattan apartment I seldom visited these days.
"Anything you'd like to say to Babs and Hal?"
Eve Simpson said, approaching with her cannon still in